If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Wanted to let you know that the Sound Stream is now available exclusively on the Sound app. You can now listen 24/7 to a music stream featuring jam bands and more, much more. So not just what you'd expect, but a few surprises along the way too. Curated by the Sound Media team, the stream offers up your favorite songs by your favorite bands and artists, both live and in the studio. We'll also be adding specialty programming and much more. So get it today and listen wherever you want for free. Get the app for iOS and Android by searching for The Sound Podcast and Stream or at app.thesoundmedia.com. Just hit the orange button, press play, and boogie on. The show starts now.
I got shots.
No more lies about this, no more lies about that. No more ace up your sleeve, just lay your cards flat. See how peeps had it rough when the struggle is tough. Bad news on the news every day, it's enough. It's enough to make good people turn around and leave. How about we march in the street, cause we'll free raise our fists in the air. Cause we do care, you say who cares, we do. We got the juice. We got the love,
we got the dream,
we won't give up,
we won't give up.
We are the chain,
we are the chain.
We had enough,
we had enough.
We got the juice,
we got the
time's up. Divided you fall, united we rise. It's been hard to see through all these tears in our eyes. So why do we cry when tears drop they stain? Just like Cass Stevens, we ride a peace train. Oh, let us be real. You must be insane in your brain. Something's wrong, so you cannot remain. We need positive change. We will not regress. Power to the beast, for we must progress.
We got the juice.
We got the love.
We got the dream.
We won't give up. Single person's sanity, humanity's all of us, colors, all kinds. We want world peace and we want peace of mind. We don't want war, we don't need more guns. We want a better world for our daughters and sons.
We got the juice, we got the love, we got the dream. We won't give up.
You've been listening to The Juice, the title track from G-Love's forthcoming record, due out January 17th, featuring Marcus King. This album marks a reunion of sorts for G-Love, having reconnected with debut label mate and blues guitarist Keb Moe, who produced The Juice. The album is also filled with guests including Marcus King, Robert Randolph, and Roosevelt Collier. So of course, with so many friends of the show contributing to G's record, we had to reach out. Truth be told, we're also big fans of his work, dating back to that debut record. We even chatted with him recently when he was in town as part of the tour that matched him with Blues Traveler and Mo. So this time around, our conversation started when I suggested that there were so many moving parts to this coming-of-age record, and that tackling the socio-political nature of Juice must have been tough.
No, it was really just a neat kind of reaction. Like, I like to keep most of my songwriting just to thinking about and living. And, you know, of course, since Trump was elected president, you know, for people like me and my family, we were really upset. And it's not just like a one and done thing. It's like a circus every day. So, yeah, it's like there's a lot to write about, certainly, and a lot to think about every day. Why the hell is all this shit happening? So I kind of wrote, you know, my rap, which is the verses to the Juice. And it was kind of like meant to be kind of a rallying cry. The other thing you have to also realize, like, is that because of the social media thing and like all the trolls, like when you're an artist or whatever and you want to post your opinion about, you know, politics and stuff, it's sure going to get a divisive response even among your fan base, which has been a really interesting thing. And the biggest thing that people would always say would be, oh, I like your music. You know, so stick to entertaining. We don't want to hear your, you know, your political thoughts. I said, hey, man, if you haven't, what do you think? Like, haven't you been listening to any of the songs I've been putting out for the last 25 years besides, you know, Cold Beverage, which arguably is also a song to change and save the world?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a reaction to all this negativity and everything. And then I took the song to Kepmo, and he had a different idea than I had for the chorus, and we wrote the chorus together. He had a chord change, and we just kind of came up with this amazing call and response thing. You know, we got the Juice, we got the love, we got the dreams, we won't give up. We are the change, we had enough, we've got the Juice, time's up. And it was really something to write that lyrical content and watch Kev write it. Yeah, because he's an older African American guy, and you know, he's kind of lived through the civil rights movement, probably as a high school student, maybe, or as a school child. You know, but he was around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff people are facing today echo in civil rights movement. It was really cool, and it came out to be this thing. And then playing it live has been amazing, because your Toronto shows, I don't know if you saw my stuff, but I ended the show with it every night. And you know, even people didn't know the song then, but like, you know, because it's a call and response, they can latch onto it, and people were really, I found it became a really powerful thing on live. So it's cool.
Yeah, no, actually, I was there, and I did find it intriguing that nobody had necessarily heard the song, but everybody was down for the message and singing along with the chorus. And I think no matter probably where you are, although, you know, the song is kind of timeless in terms of just getting involved and getting your voice heard, whether you're on one side or the
right.
other. And I think that's the most important thing, right? It's not necessarily a protest song. It's more like a political activism song, and just getting involved, and heck, just getting out there and voting is active enough, right, to get your voice heard.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, actually, I went to this talk the other night about the election system in our country, and I mean, I think the really one of the huge takeaways is that only, I want to say it's only 55% of people in America, in the USA, actually vote.
Right.
So that's leaving out a huge part of the population that has, and the other parts of it were that, you know, most in the free world, like the UN has done studies of, you know, where there's free and clear elections, and the United States ranks really far down on the list as far as being a first world, you know, quote, first world country with that prides itself on the democracy, yet countries like Rwanda and, you know, and countries of considering a third world, they have, according to the UN, like more free, clear, democratic elections. So, yeah, obviously, one thing that would be great is if they, our elections happen on Tuesday. Most other countries have a national election day, which is a day off where, you know, it's like a cultural thing. People go vote, they don't work, they go home, they celebrate, you know, with a barbecue or whatever. Here, our voting takes place on a Tuesday where most people are working, right?
Yeah.
And it's culturally, they don't make it easy for people to vote. It's not by accident. You know? So these are fundamental problems with our country. So these are things that hopefully, you know, as an artist, we do have, or we can have, I should say, there's, we can have the opportunity to help promote change of whatever we want to promote through our music, through talking about it on a microphone in front of people, and you know, by setting an example to people that, you know, look up to you because of your music. So, you know, it's something to consider if you're an artist. How much, how little do you want to be involved in these type of things off the stage or even on the stage through your music? Yeah. I decided, man, enough's enough, man. I gotta put my foot in the door.
Well, that's good. And certainly, you know, organizations like Headcount want artists to get involved and want to spread the message. So that's good stuff. Also on this track, something that's really cool, besides the fact that Keb helped you feel it out and figure out how to do the call and response and other parts, Marcus King appears on this track. I mean, how dope is that? That a guy, an up and comer like Marcus, who is a sick guitar player, is lending a hand.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus, you know, my cousin, who's like a older guy, but super in the jam band world, he sent me some footage of Marcus early on. Hey, check out Warren Haynes, boy, this up and comer. Oh, man, this kid's good. And then we crossed paths at the Tortuga Festival in Florida, and he was the nicest kid. You know, I didn't know he was going to be like, he's so great on guitar. I was like, oh, this kid's got to be a jerk. But he was like such a nice guy, and, you know, has this big smile, just the sweetest guy. He's a young guy, and with such a huge presence. And I'm not talking about his physical stature. I mean, no, like everything about his personality.
Right.
Yeah, man. So we kind of became fast friends, and we were also on the blues cruise together with Keb Mo. And and he's obviously having a huge moment at the beginning of his career, and he's a generational talent. And so I, of course, asked him what he'd be on the record, and he said, yeah. And then we were lucky, and he was happy to be moving to Nashville. So he had he was moving to Nashville, and he took a 2-hour break and came over and cut the guitar solo, which, you know, took him one pass to play this awesome guitar, expressive guitar solo. I mean, it's not a super long solo, but it's great. It tells a big story in a little amount of time. So it's really special.
There are other great tunes on this record. And I think, you know, it's about brightening our days in many ways, all over the place. You know, the Gritty Soul Barbecue, or Soul BQ, it's really about a celebration of community and friendship. And that's, you know, I think that's where people get cold beverages kind of mixed up, or some of your earlier material, that it really is about a celebration of life and friendship. And that certainly comes through in Soul BQ too, right?
Yeah, man. Thank you. Because that's one of my favorite tunes on the record. Actually, the single just dropped yesterday for the pre-order. And that features Roosevelt Collier. And that was a really cool song. That was one that we wrote from the ground up with Keb and Gary Nicholson, his rock partner, and I. And it was really cool for a bunch of different reasons. But the first one was that Keb said, you just pick up the guitar. All right, now play your natural, build your rhythm. Like, play the thing that you play when you pick up the guitar. So that's like kind of maybe like a driving, you know, rhythm in the key of E. And so he said, all right, cool. So then he started putting up a little beat behind it. And then, well, what do you want to talk about? Well, man, you know, I just had this idea that I wanted to have a song that just invite people in, invites people into the show and into my world when they walk into that venue and like walk out of the cold into the warmth of the music and the atmosphere and all into my house, you know. And then it was like, so we're going to have a little party. And then it just kind of led to the chorus. And I said, man, it should just have like a big influence of mine is Dr. John. Yeah. I like Dr. John because he always has an original take on everything. And he makes up words, right? Like, you know, destitutively, Bonnaroo, and, you know, edumacation and stuff like this. Like, you know what he's saying, but he's not a real word.
Right. Yeah.
So I thought, like, so we got to the chorus, I said, well, it's got to be something like rhythmically that works, but it's just got to be a bunch of, you know, jibber jabber. So I said, oh, bebop, a loobop, a bebop, a lie. So Kevin came up with that word, bebop, loobop, bebop, a lie. And then you don't need no invitation, just drop on by. It's time to get up and throw down a funky stew. It's a lowdown. And they said, well, what is it? And I said, well, it can't just be a barbecue. It can't just be like, you know, soul food or something. It's got to be its own thing that no one ever said before. And then I said, it's the soul-bacue. And Kev said, well, a soul-bacue? And I said, yeah, Kev, it's a barbecue for your soul, man. He said, all right, well, that's he said, man, that's some G-Love shit. All right, let's go with that. So that was it. And then, you know, it's become this, again, it's become this awesome, like, live performance piece. It was again, like, call and response stuff. Because I asked the question, you know, don't you feel better? And everyone goes, yeah. And then I said, is anybody hungry? Yeah. So that's cool, man. But, yeah, like you said, it is. It's that invitation, bring community, bring family and friends together, and celebrate life and living and cooking and hanging and music and being together.
The other cool tune, I think, that brings people together and lifts people up. And sometimes, you know, we forget that it's the people in our daily lives, whether it's our spouse or our girlfriend or boyfriend or what have you. But, you know, She's the Rock is such an important song. And it is about the way a lover can lift you up. And I know I've heard you say several times that you were going through a tough time when you met your fiance, and having met her, it really turned stuff around for you in a big way. And I assume that you're talking about, even though it's a metaphor for everybody's lover or friend, that it really is about your relationship with your fiance, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I kind of the sentiment was actually from a friend's Instagram who said who was missing his wife, and he said he used this phrase sometime, she's the rock to my role. And I thought, wow, that's like such a great lyric. And so I said, well, I'm just gonna make a song with it, you know. And then I'm going to make it about my chick. And it just came out like by itself, because it's like, it's one of those songs that kind of writes itself and it's fun. And there's a lot of great lyrics that got left on the table because it just was going to be too long. But she's a rock to my roll. You can go anywhere from that. You know, she's the butter on my toast. She's the butter on my roll. She's the, you know, whatever. She's the evening to my stroll. Yeah. It's so you can imagine the fun I had writing lyrics then. I just want to throw it back to Kelsey, my wife, and like, you know, just make something to celebrate her and how, and just with the kind of the tongue in cheek notion of like, she's so great. And I'm not worthy. You know, I mean, that's the sentiment, like, she's so great and I'm not worthy, you know, and she's the rock that, you know, lets me roll. So she's kind of the, you know, the wind behind my sails. So, yeah, it was really throwing it back. And you know, it's really cool, like, because I have been through living this musician's life of so many, like, tumultuous relations, so many tumultuous and failed relationships for, you know, 20 years, and have obviously documented my whole life, like, on through my songs and the records and stuff. There's been a lot of, like, breakup songs. And now that I'm, like, actually happy and like a loving, and we have our problems like anybody else, but yeah, overall happy, loving, supportive partnership and relationship. You know, it's like, wow, okay, now I don't even like, I look back at some of his breakups and I'm like, man, what a drag. I'm not saying that shit, man. Like, sorry to my fans that had to listen to this shit for so long, but you know, I guess breakup songs have their place, but it's the same thing. Like, if you're in a happy relationship and then, you know, you see a buddy that's like, you know, just got dumped or cheated on, it's like, wow, man, fuck. I mean, I've been through that shit so many times, but like, it's so far away from being that guy now that like, hey, how you doing? Well, God, listen to what you did this time. It's like, oh man, I feel so bad. But again, I've been through that stuff. It's like, hey, you're going to live. And B, the most important thing you could tell somebody, that people told me, that you can't really hear unless you can find the strength to by yourself and be a big boy or a big girl and get out of it. You know, it's like, that person that's doing this to you is never going to change. Like, unless you leave that relationship, it's never going to stop for the rest of your life. So like, it's a life choice. You have to decide, like, do you want to be with someone that's happy to be with you and supportive of you and loving to you and support your career and the things you want to do and makes it easy and you don't have to worry, and, or do you want to not be like that? You know what I mean?
Right.
So the She's the Rock was just like a celebration of Kelsey. And the other one that's kind of for her and the family, the other two are like Shine on the Moon and Digging Roots, which again, like, kind of deal with us, you know, starting a new family. And there's great lyric in that. You know, I'm digging roots, I'm pulling weeds, making room for you and me. And the weeds are like, you know, the metaphor for those things you don't want growing in your garden.
Right. Yeah.
And relationships and stuff. So that was, yeah, man. And China Moon was, you know, kind of just a straight up love song. Like, you know, don't my baby look so pretty, you know, lighting up the living room or, you know, shining through the window. And so just kind of simple stuff, but I try to really like, and help, you know, but back to that She's the Rock song, it was cool. It was the only, that one and China Moon were the only two songs that didn't like dissect with me and put back together. He was really kind of, to him, She's the Rock was like the really important song on the record. And I know the radio department picked the song Go Crazy as the first single, so that's what we went with. But Kev, I said, Kev, what do you think? She was like, She's the Rock. I don't know. The radio people are saying Go Crazy. So it was just doing pretty good. So I don't know.
You know, you and Kev sort of first hit the road together like 20 years ago and have sort of intertwined over those 20 years. And you picked him to produce this record. Is it just like coming home for you? I mean, to sit down with Cab and put this stuff together, do you trust him more than you trust yourself? I mean, because he is such a great writer. What? How much influence did Cab have on this record?
I mean, everything. Like, and you know, I think, to be honest, like, you know, we got signed and released the same year we launched the record label together. So, you know, it was like back then, you know, I was a kid and I was the shit. And I'm something in my head, like, you know, I don't really, yeah, I thought Kev was cool, you know, whatever, you know,
yeah,
like that. You know what I mean? I thought he was cool. It wasn't, at that time I was really into the blues. Like, I still am. But I was also really into like heart, like my favorite type of blues, people like, you know, John Lee Hooker and Fred McDowell. And Kev was still, Kev's more of a hybrid. He's almost like, you know, Cat Stevens and John Hurt and Robert Johnson, or Simon and Robert Johnson. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he's a little more modern singer-songwriter twist with his blues, which back in the day I didn't really appreciate as much as I do now. And certainly like reconnecting with him 20 years later and doing the tour and getting to kind of like oh shit, like, you know, he's a, first of all, just a, I mean, I've always known him to be an unbelievable guitar player to the point where it's like, wow, he's too good. Like, he makes it too easy. He's people don't realize how great of a guitar player is, and as a singer too. And now, just like both of us being 25 years down the road of life and down our career, me growing up, him kind of becoming a senior of the, you know, I mean, he's now could be, because life and people died, you know.
Yeah.
There's only Buddy Guy, and Taj, Buddy Guy is like the last of the OG blues guys. And then you have like the second generation guys, like, you know, Taj Mahal, John Hammond, John Mayall, and other guys. And then you got like Keb Mo, and Keb's kind of inserted himself, even though his career started, or his recording career as Keb Mo started in the 90s, not the 60s. He's kind of the number three guy that's going to be headlining blues fest. So he's become like a senior statesman of the blues. So full circle answering your question. You know, he was everything on this record. Like, he took me to school. You know, he took me to songwriting school. He took me to vocal school. He took me to rhythm school. He said, you know, it was like I was full on, you know, it was like Mr. Miyagi, a Karate Kid. Like, I mean, literally, like, it was shit like this. Like, he'd be like, gee, do you know what On the One is? I mean, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, On the One, like James or John Hook was sitting on the one chord. No, the one, the first beat, right? It's got to be one, two, three, four. You know, like, you're doing a sledgehammer, G. Like, you're digging a fucking ditch, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so he'd be having me in the studio singing my lyrics. He's like, I want you to shovel on one and sing. I'm drinking wine. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, like on the song, drinking wine, like, he's like, that's another shovel thing. He's like, okay, dig on the one. One. And a lot of my phrasing naturally kind of pop and drop them on. Like, one, like,
yeah.
He's like, I'm digging roots. I would. One, two, three, four, one. I'm digging roots. Blue it. One, two, three, four, one. Bluebirds. Like, I would go one and I would start on the and usually. But he got thrown to one. Like, bluebird singing. And it opens up the rest of the phrase. I mean, I just learned so much about phrasing, singing. And I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, every word, every lyric, every note, every note and every beat that everybody played on that record was like overseen by Keb with a fine tooth comb, to the point where, like, there's some days you're just like, wow, are you fucking serious? Like, really? Like, nothing gets wrong. Like, you could have Jimi Hendrix in the studio and he would say, you know, fuck you later, and Keb would say, Jimmy, hold on, not like that, do it like this, fuck you. I mean no one could come in the studio and just do it how they would just do it any other day. It had to, like, be like, wait, hold on, Roosevelt, hold on, turn, what do you got your amp set to? Roosevelt, who's like a master of the sacred studio talk.
Yeah.
Roosevelt, how you got your amp set? Oh, I just got everything turned up to 10. Well, hold on. Let me just work on an amp set. And I'm like, oh my God, no, please don't do this to Roosevelt, Kev, please don't do this. And then, of course, Roosevelt was like, damn, Kev, thanks, man. You know, because he just knows his shit. And then you're like, oh, fuck. All right, he was right. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a dope record from top to end. And it's, you know, your lyrics and playing. And you can hear the Keb influence. Robert Randolph is another cat who, you know, has grown up in the scene. He's another cat that's on the record, right? And how did you all hook up with Robert?
Yeah, I mean, Robert and I have been hanging and partying for, you know, years and years. Matter of fact, we probably hung out and partied for like 3 or 4 years just whenever we crossed paths before we ever jammed a single note together.
Yeah.
So we've just been friends a long time, and then, you know, of course, we ended up jamming a lot as the years went on. And so, you know, I had to hit up Robert. I wanted to kind of like get kind of more content. Like, this is cool working with Keb. And I wanted to kind of get some kind of contemporary, younger, and my generation, next generation blues gods on the record. So that's why, you know, I chose Roosevelt, Marcus, Robert, and then also young Hawaiian blues guy, singer-songwriter guy, Ron Ortiz, who's just a wonderful musician. So, yeah, that's right there.
It's a dope record. I assume that you're going to be touring again starting in January.
Yeah, we're going to be the tours up and tours announced, and yeah, it's up on our site. So if anybody want to find out, they can go to my Twitter at Philly G Love and check out what's going on. Or that's the Instagram at Philly G Love. Twitter's at G Love, and G Love Special Thoughts on Facebook and philadelphonic.com/tour. For our tour dates. But yeah, we will be touring heavily this year. And we will be going to Japan, Australia. We do have one or two shows in Canada.
Wow.
And all over the US. That's and awesome. Europe in the fall. So yeah, this will be a big year on the road for us. So please come out.
All right, man. Well, I can tell people that seeing you live is always a treat. And just, you know, whether it's just you and an acoustic or a full band, you always throw down and it's a great record. So thanks so much for taking the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you, man. I really do. Thank you.
For more on G Love and a reminder of all the tour dates and details on how you can pre-order the Juice, visit philadelphonic.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to another track from the Juice. Here is Soul BQ, featuring Roosevelt Collier.
Hey, yo, G, what's up with the soul barbecue?
Hang all night, hooting and hollering in the moonlight. Mr. Ken Holt the liquor or you're feeling bad, we gon' send your ass home in a taxi cab. But we gon' keep her going, don't you worry about that. Call all the kittens, call all the cats. Where it's at, yo, you know by the end of the road. All night long, that's the way we go. Is anybody hungry?
Yeah.
You better get a plate.
Okay.
Won't take long, it'll be all gone. So don't you hesitate. Now don't you feel bitter?
Yeah.
I knew you would.
Okay.
Come on into my house. It's all right, it's all good. Cause it's a bebop, a loobop, or bebop, a lie. You don't need no invitation, you just drop on by. It's time to get up and throw down a funky stew. It's a low down, hold down, sober cue.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.